Monday morning quarterbacking around the state involves more than football today. Michigan's main gubernatorial candidate squared off in a town hall-style debate last night. Republican incumbent Rick Snyder and Democratic challenger Mark Schauer appeared before a TV studio audience of undecided voters in Detroit. And viewers here in mid-Michigan saw the town hall on WKAR-TV. To revisit the town hall and its potential impact, we welcome the Michigan Public Radio Network's Capitol Bureau Chief, Rick Pluta. Hi, Rick.
Hi, glad to be here. And I will make one small distinction. Not undecided voters, per se. They could be leaning one way or the other, but uncommitted voters, so people who are essentially persuadable.
Well done. Okay, we appreciate that that detail. You have spent an hour.
If there's a nit to pick,
you will pick it. It's what we love about you. Mm. You have spent an hour with each of these candidates on our network, which includes WKAR. How instructive do you think last night's town hall event was? Did you hear anything new?
No.
Okay.
No.
I
think that people who were predisposed to support one candidate or the other probably walked away with something to affirm that particular choice. I didn't hear a lot to persuade people one way or the other, although some of the undecided voters that I talked to as they were walking out felt like they had been pushed a little bit more in one direction or another. No, we really saw actually kind of a recycling of the themes that we've heard throughout this campaign, the bickering over whether or not Governor Snyder actually cut K-12 spending, and you know, the answer is that in the aggregate he did not, although a lot of the money that was put into it was in pension funding that has not resulted in direct dollars into the classroom right now, which is sort of an interesting messaging point, because what that allows Mark Schauer to do is sort of capitalize on people's experience, that the governor can put the numbers out there and say this is the balance sheet, but Mark Schauer can say, yeah, but it doesn't seem that way to you, does it?
Right.
And then make the case that way. And I think that might be sort of the premier issue where, you know, you can say that both of them had the opportunity to sort of affirm the contract that they've made with their voters, not necessarily persuading everybody else.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know? And then it went on to all the other, you know, issues that, you know, that we've been talking about, the Aramark contract, road funding, you know,
let's
stuff like that.
Let's listen to a little bit of that. Clearly, Mark Schauer viewed issues like Aramark, the pension tax and cuts to education, Detroit's bankruptcy, as opportunities to score points. Let's listen back to Mark Schauer on the pension tax.
I would never have cut retiree pensions. Our Constitution is clear. Pensions are guaranteed. And again, on top of the pension tax, now cutting pensions through his emergency manager, his governor himself, is wrong. It's hurting people. That's no way to build a strong economy. It is a broken economy.
And Rick, did the challenger score some serious points there? And how effectively did the governor respond?
We know that the pension tax, which is repealing the tax exemption that used to apply to pension income, not 401ks, not other types of investments or retirement income, to pension income, politically is very unpopular. For Democrats, that issue is polling well. It may be their best issue to use against Governor Snyder and the Republicans, which was why it was brought up. And the point might seem esoteric, but it's actually a big deal. What Mark Schauer has never explained, did not last night, did not on the call-in shows that we have here, is okay, if you would not cut, if you would restore that exemption on pension income, which is a roughly $400 million exemption, you know, that's the implications to the state budget. Where would you cut? Where would you find the revenue to replace that? And he still does not have an answer.
How effectively did the governor raise that in his response? How did he respond to the pension tax attack?
I think his response was a little tepid and complicated. And I don't know that viewers, listeners actually walked away with the idea that, oh, wait, that money's got to come from somewhere. And he never explained where, which is sort of interesting because, you know, especially in the first half of it, you know, Mark Schauer was up. He was animated. He was engaged. He smiled whether he was up talking, whether he was standing back in his stool. He had a suit and tie on. And, you know, Governor Snyder was going through the numbers. And for a while there, it seemed like Mark Schauer was running for governor and Rick Snyder was running for CPA. And that's sort of how, you know, that played out. Mark Schauer was trying to appear gubernatorial to get people to envision him in the job. Rick Snyder was trying to establish and reestablish his business guy in charge bona fides, sort of, you know, a grown-up running the government.
The challenger repeated that he would lead, implying that the governor has not led. Let's listen to Governor Snyder respond to attacks that he hasn't led on roads.
Well, the challenge is much of the legislature was having a tough time addressing this issue. Pothole season brought it home. And what we got was pretty far along the process. We got farther than it had been done in a lot of years. But it was an election year. So you found many legislators saying that they weren't going to vote for a revenue increase going into an election season. So we'll get through the election season. Let's get it done.
Assess that for us.
When he says that we've got a lot farther than we've gotten in many years, I mean, what he meant was that, you know, we actually had, you know, a bill, you know, introduced, but, you know, it's not across the finish line, that we've had years of studies that talk about the need for road funding. Clearly, infrastructure is a very big deal to the governor since, you know, he's making the Detroit International Bridge sort of the centerpiece of his long-term economic plan for the state, making it a central point in a U.S.-Canadian, you know, economic zone. So roads are a big deal in that. What Mark Schauer has been hitting on is, Governor, you haven't been able to get the job done, that you say you're a different kind of politician. And so the irony here is Mark Schauer is actually, you know, capitalizing on his political experience, the fact that he served in the legislature, in the House and the Senate and in Congress. And he says that gives him the practical skills to do what Rick Snyder has been unable to do, which is get a road funding package all the way through the legislature. The governor says, look for it in lame duck. And the governor has gotten some controversial things through the legislature, certainly, probably most significantly, the Medicaid expansion.
Rick Pluta is Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. We're revisiting last night's town hall debate between Governor Snyder and challenger Mark Schauer. Pundits did claim, as you referred to earlier, the need for Mark Schauer to appear gubernatorial. By contrast, there was talk of Governor Snyder being more assertive, defending himself, being more vigorous in his presentation.
Vigorous. He was downright mean sometimes.
For him, he was.
No, he interrupted the moderators, Nolan Finley of the Detroit News, Stephen Henderson of the Detroit Free Press, and they were trying to move on, and he's going, no, this is important. I'm going to answer this point, you know, and don't try to stop me. No, it was definitely a different type of nerd, a more aggressive one, and a lot of Republicans have been calling for Rick Snyder to do that for a while. That they thought that this campaign was closer than it should be, according to the polling that has been made public, and apparently a lot of the internal polling that the campaigns and the political parties had, and they felt like Rick Snyder needed to push back more on Mark Schauer and the Democrats, especially on the education question, especially on the pension tax.
This event, as you pointed out, was ostensibly for uncommitted voters. We won't say undecided, but uncommitted voters. They made up the audience. Do you think this town hall encounter moved the needle for a significant number of uncommitted voters? Did it have the makings of moving the needle?
I think it was something that both candidates kind of needed to get to, you know, like you just said, that this sort of set the stage for Mark Schauer to spend the last 3 weeks of the campaign appearing to be gubernatorial, so gubernatorial, in fact, that he skipped the prearranged post-debate scrum with reporters and
Senator Stabenow and Senator Whitmer and
choosing to send surrogates instead. And part of the rationale was because, well, you know, after a presidential debate, you don't see the presidential candidates doing that. And so it was more gubernatorial for Mark Schauer to simply leave that, you know, to others and let his debate performance speak for itself. Governor Snyder did show up for the scrum and answer a few questions.
I was wondering whether anybody considered doing an exit poll of the studio audience.
The Free Press did, and I'm looking at it right now, and it appears that going in, many of the studio audience was already leaning towards Mark Schauer. That would be consistent with the very, very small number of interviews that I did. And most of them that I talked to said that they were stronger in that belief as a result of as a result of the debate. But I think that sort of gets to, you know, I guess kind of the my opening premise here, which is if you felt like you were planning to vote for one or the other, you probably were given some reasons to affirm that choice last night and not too many reasons to change your mind. If you are straight up in the middle, not sure which way to tip, I'm not sure that last night helped you very much, unless there is a particular issue that you didn't know about that you were things were made clear on.
It crossed my mind that the event wasn't geared so much to people who were undecided, but people who just simply hadn't had the time yet to pay any attention to this thing in the first place.
Well, you know, with all due respect, there's been plenty of time for people to pay attention.
Well, of course there has.
The fact is that it's a midterm election. We don't have a presidential campaign at the top of the ticket to get people really worked up, and people just don't get excited, don't get as impassioned about the midterms, even though there is a lot at stake, that voters tend to engage later if they engage at all, you know, which is, you know, one reason why we're seeing a debate so late in the game. And if it was informational, it's just because people are just now starting to pay attention.
Rick Pluta is Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Was there any serious mistake that either candidate made that voters might remember? I know at one point the governor mistakenly said Michigan spends more on education than on prisons.
Right, and Freudian. Stephen Henderson, you know,
right.
It's not a mistake that you want to make in a venue like that.
Interesting.
No,
Freudian slip there.
I don't think there were any memorable mistakes. There were probably plenty of missed opportunities that both candidates wished that maybe they'd capitalized on more. But I don't think there was any. There were no Rick Perry moments.
Isn't there some irony in the clamor for debates, and then a debate unfolds, and so little new is actually revealed?
There's a great deal of irony in that reality, and everyone knows it. And it's one of the reasons why there's only one debate and not a series of debates, because the Snyder campaign, which is the one that's been resisting. As a matter of fact, this was not a debate, not a classic debate with opening statements.
Hardly.
This was a town hall, and the Snyder campaign was the one that wanted few or no debates, and that's why they were able to get away with it, because one was enough.
Rick Pluta, many thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Mark.